Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, at the very pioneering edge of Western civilization, and fighting for every remnant of Christian heritage we possibly can. Bill Jack, also in studio with us today. And speaking of Western civilization, what's happening in the Netherlands is rather impressive. They're going off the edge when it comes to abandoning any semblance of a Christian value system. And here's an article that we pick off of Creation Revolution, where he's reporting on one third of Dutch doctors agreeing to kill the mentally ill. It's a full 34% of Dutch doctors are excited about helping patients die who happen to be suffering from mental illness, which, as it turns out, is a fairly large proportion of modern secular society. We talked about this on recent programs. As many of you know, the uses of psychotropic drugs and ADHD drugs have increased by factors of 100%, but 200%, 300% over the last 10, 15, and 20 years. So much of the Western world is insane, is struggling with mental illness at some level, and therefore one third of Dutch doctors say, let's kill them. And the fact of the matter is, Bill, these guys are being true to their worldviews. I don't think people understand how important worldviews are. People's worldviews eventually reveal themselves. They are true to the things they believe at the very foundation, at the very footers of their entire system of knowledge. Somewhere down there, they believe in something very, very, very strongly, and it will dictate 99.99% of their decisions. In the case of Dutch doctors, you know these guys have been trained in universities, in biology classrooms, and by the way, doctors, medical doctors, my understanding is they study biology. Is that correct?
They're into the life sciences. Yeah. Yep.
My understanding is they're into the life sciences. If they're into the life sciences and they attended universities over the last 150 years, they're going to be well indoctrinated in the worldview of Charles Darwin. Okay? So the Darwinian evolution perspective is going to be shot through their system of thinking, unless they metanoeo, that's a word for repent, unless they change their minds, unless they have a renewal of the mind by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Unless that happens, they're going to be true to the worldview that has been very carefully taught to them all the way through K-12 schools into the undergrad, into the grad, into their medical science curriculum. All right, so these guys are going to be committed to Darwinism, the survival of the fittest mentality, and eugenics, of course, as well as the existentialism of the day that has been inculcated upon entire society, upon billions of people by way of a man named Jean-Paul Sartre and several other existentialists, those who said, you make your own decisions for your own benefit in the short term. That's what matters. So therefore, if you live the existentialist lifestyle, what's going to happen? You're going to kill your babies by the tens of millions in the Netherlands. And then you're going to have birth implosions. And then you're going to have imploding worker to retiree ratios, which means there won't be very many workers to the retirees, which means you're going to have to weed out as many elderly, as many cannot work, as many who are not efficient at getting the job done as possible, so that those who can work can afford their cappuccinos and enjoy their own self-centered, narcissistic, existentialist lifestyles until they are going to be wiped out by the next generation. Friends, that's the way it goes until there will be something of a Christian revival somewhere in the world. And we pray and hope that that will happen sometime in the future.
You know, the doctors in the Netherlands, they are the direct descendants of the Nazis in Germany. Now, you're looking at me, Kevin, going, how can that be? Because the Netherlands was invaded by Germany, and they resisted the tyranny and the fascism of Germany, and how could that be?
I thought they were the descendants of Corrie ten Boom and Abraham Kuyper. Guess not. There were some that were.
Yes.
But evidently they're losing.
Because the Nazis were very, very clever people. They had euphemisms. A euphemism is a kind way of saying something rather unpleasant. Like, my mother passed away. I'm trying to say my mother died, okay? But it's a kind way of saying something rather harsh. So when the Nazis set up the killing centers for physically and mentally ill patients, Here's what they called them. Charitable foundations for institutional care.
Yeah. Sounds like the way we treat abortion today.
Well, you know, that's what the IRS calls the Killing Centers for the Unborn. Quote, charitable organizations engaged in, quote, promoting health.
No
and
way.
You, yes,
it's the same title?
Yes.
You're kidding
exactly.
me. You're kidding me.
No.
And they took it from the Nazis.
Well, they had to take it from somebody. But that's what they call them, charitable organizations right. engaged in, quote, and, promoting health.
And you know these Dutch physicians would say, I'm no Nazi.
I'm no Nazi.
I'm a nice guy. I'm the nicest guy ever. And I'm so nice that I'm going to relieve this person of his misery.
Yeah.
He's got mental illness.
Right.
He suffers. And here's one more thing, Bill. Name somebody you've met in your 55 years of existence on planet Earth.
You're very kind.
Name somebody who you've met who has not suffered the effects of the fall, some disease. He's not coming up with anything.
No, not coming up with anybody. It's an easy question.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody.
There you go.
Everybody.
Which means that Dutch physicians at some point will want to kill everybody.
Right.
Okay, so there it is. We'll be back in just a moment, friends, to talk about aborted fetuses in vaccines. That next on the Generations Radio Podcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom, a biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host today. Talking about Nazi science, pseudoscience, and bad doctors. Doctors that really can't sign the Hippocrates Oath. Doctors that simply cannot subscribe to a biblical concept of what it is to be a doctor, and that is to save lives, not to kill them. Well, here's another instance in which this Nazi science has worked its way into our other systems, and that is in the area of vaccinations. And by the way, vaccinations becoming more important. A number of bills across the country that are imposing vaccinations and disallowing some of the exemptions that we've enjoyed for the last 20, 30 years. And we're going to get to one in California in just a moment. But here's an article from ABC News. Now, at one point, it was the marginalized pro-life groups that were concerned about this issue. Now it's mainstream, so it's even safer to talk about it because ABC News has finally come out and said, hey, yes, this is a reality. What aborted fetuses have to do with vaccines? It says a small but growing number of parents who object to vaccinating their children on religious grounds say they do so because many common vaccines are the product of cells that once belonged to aborted fetuses. Some childhood vaccines, including the one against rubella, which is part of the MMR vaccine given to millions of children worldwide for measles, mumps, and rubella, is cultured in WI-38 human diploid lung fibroblasts, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's fact sheet on vaccines ingredients.
Whoa.
There it is.
Whoa.
There it is. ABC News, friends, Good Morning America, is giving you the story. It's all there. Now, question for you. These vaccines have grown out of aborted fetuses. And if it wasn't for the aborted fetuses, there would be no MMR. Now, the question is, do Christians participate in this? Do Christians participate in the killing of innocent children and the use of their organs for the MMR shot? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. This is Proverbs 1. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. Let us use their lung fibroblasts for our MMR shots. Come, wow. come. We shall find all precious substance. We shall find good material for our MMR shots. Cast in your lot with us. Let us all have one purse. Let us all use one strain. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Well, there it is. I think that applies, Bill.
It's chilling.
Yeah. One more reason not to use the MMR shot. At one point, kids just got measles.
That's what happened when I was a kid.
We lived in a world where we didn't say, hey, to create a secure world for every single one of us, let's put padding on the wall and let's make sure that the padding is made out of human flesh from aborted fetuses. We didn't do that. We just got chickenpox.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get the measles?
I got the measles.
You did?
You know how I got it?
How'd you get it?
We had close family friends and their daughter broke out in measles. And sure enough, I think it was chickenpox. Maybe measles, maybe both. We got both that way. And so they brought her over to the house, and sure enough, 3 weeks later, I got measles. Our today is our second son's 29th birthday. And when he was a child, the neighborhood boy across the street broke out in chickenpox. My wife seized the opportunity, gathered little Joshua by the hand, and marched him across the street, took the two little boys, rubbed them vigorously together, and 3 weeks later, what happened?
He got the measles.
He got chicken pox or the measles. And that's the way most people catch their worldview, Kevin. That's the way they catch their worldview. And they don't sit down and they don't think it through. And we need to think it through when it comes to even things that we think are protecting our kids. Yeah.
It's going to become
like
increasingly
public schools and measles shots.
It's going to become increasingly difficult to opt out of these vaccinations, my friends. And partially because of the measles outbreak at Disneyland that I think, you know, seven people got the measles. By the way, nobody's died of the measles in like 15 years. And several hundred have died as a result of an MMR shot.
And so
just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Now I understand the argument for the measles shot. And that is the argument for the herd immunity, that you need herd immunity and you'll get herd immunity if you can top 95%, I think it is, or 92%. 92% is what the doctors say is herd immunity for things like the measles. And so they want some herd immunity going on. And so, you know, it turns out that if 92% of the population refuse to take the vaccinations, then you get no herd immunity. And that becomes a problem for, well, the 92% that didn't get it. And so that's their concern. Now, question, what is a biblical approach to pandemics and diseases? Here's a biblical approach. Biblical approach is this. Don't build a Tower of Babel and centralize all power in one city. That's a biblical approach. Another biblical approach, people start to break out, quarantine.
Quarantine biblical would be a good thing.
Biblical law allows for quarantine. But biblical law doesn't allow for the police state running around with needles and forcing needles into the skin of our kids and ignoring parental freedoms and parental rights in determining whether or not our kids ought to be subjected to this form of medical treatment. Okay? Biblical law allows for liberty. Biblical law is actually really wise. And why is it really wise? Because it's written by God himself, who maximizes liberty for the individuals and for the families, while at the same time maintains some semblance of order when it comes to pandemics. And biblical law does not allow for forced vaccinations, friends. It's just that's the way it works. Biblical law does not allow for forced vaccinations. Here's a California bill that would ban vaccinations, opt out based on personal belief. And this is being repeated across the country. This one, SB 277, would bar children who are unvaccinated for non-medical reasons from attending public or private schools. So apparently there is a homeschool exemption for them. And that does make some sense. Homeschool exemptions are a good idea. And I encourage homeschool exemptions where there is the herd mentality when it comes to education. When you're stuffing 5,000 kids into one school, the school may have something of a right to say, you're going to need vaccinations if you come to this school, but there ought to be some free market enabled for the area of education that parents who don't want their kids vaccinated not attend that particular school. Does everybody understand? I understand the herd immunity thing. When you're herding 5,000 kids into a public school, yeah, there's a huge possibility of pandemics of some sort. But when you got four kids in a homeschool, you have far, far less of an opportunity for pandemics to take place. That's why the Tower of Babel approach, where we go to make a name for ourselves and centralize the power of education or any other civil project in one area, in one city, in one nation, friends, you're going to have major problems and you're going to have enforced tyranny in order to enable civil society to continue. That's why Christians who stand for liberty are going to be encouraging a decentralization of power at all points. And that's why Christians who see that the centralization of power in the educational system has moved from homeschools and one-room schoolhouses back when Laura Ingalls Wilder was out in South Dakota doing her one-room schoolhouse thing with six students in 1894, as that has shifted to massive school districts, massive state departments of education, and the National Department of Education tripling in size since the year 2000, we find this to be problematic. We find this to be counter to a biblical approach. Friends, you standardize and centralize education, it's a bad deal. It will destroy academics. It will destroy your liberty. It will, of course, increase government tyranny, and expenditures for education has tripled since the 1960s. The per student giving to education has tripled since 1960. And of course, the quality of education has declined dramatically since then as well. All right. So that's the humanist approach to destroying a society and destroying its liberties. That's the humanist approach. Our approach is to decentralize. Our approach is to encourage parents to take a responsibility. And when they do that, massive decentralization. Think about homeschooling. Homeschooling is not centralized, friends. Here's the administration of my homeschool. You want to know what it is, Bill?
Yeah, I'd like to see the
five
flow
kids.
Chart.
Five kids, or
can
right
see
now,
the flow chart?
Right now, two kids.
Two kids. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to count.
You're trying to count.
Two kids.
You were public schooled, weren't you?
Two teachers.
Yeah.
One administrator.
Wow.
No, actually, two administrators.
Yeah.
Me and my wife.
Yeah. Two teachers?
Two teachers, yeah, me and my wife.
Oh.
I teach physics and
so
geometry.
So you're getting double pay because you're an administrator and a teacher? What about the
That's
union?
Pretty much
How
it.
Does the union
there's
work?
There's no union.
What?
Yeah, there's no union.
There's a marital union.
There's no administration. There's no administration. There's no department
of
education.
There is administration. God's in charge here.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it's pretty flat.
Yeah.
It's pretty flat. There's no real pyramid going on in my homeschool. All right, friends, that's the solution. The solution, again, we're always back to decentralized. Now, of course, the trend, the humanist trend, is to move more and more towards a massively centralized, a massively efficient form of education in which you process 5,000 kids through one school.
And that's what it's called, processing. It's not called education. It's called processing. In fact, one critic of this is Elaine Stein, who is 34 years old. She's from San Jose. She's a critic of this whole California idea. And she said this will set a precedent for adult vaccinations also. If we're going to say school-age children need to be vaccinated, then what about teachers? What about daycare providers? What about principals? They're going to be next. And then what? Will adults need their vaccination records to board airplanes?
That's the way tyranny goes. You build the Babel, my friends, you're going to wind up with a massive tyranny on your hands. Well, here's one more article I want to hit before we're done, and this ties into the pseudoscience we have talked about thus far. This is Pseudoscience in the Witness Box, an important story covered by the Washington Post most recently. Sort of freaky. Talks about the FBI faking an entire field of forensic science. The Justice Department and FBI have formally acknowledged that nearly every examiner in an elite FBI forensic unit gave flawed testimony in almost all trials in which they offered evidence against criminal defendants over more than a two-decade period. Of 20 examiners with the FBI laboratory's microscopic hair comparison unit, 26 overstated forensic matches in ways that favored prosecutors in more than 95% of the 268 trials reviewed so far, according to the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and the Innocence Project, which are assisting the government with the country's largest post-conviction review of questioned forensic evidence. Well, there it is. What did they just say? They said 95% of these cases have been fraudulently handled. 95%. You say, well, wow, the U.S. Justice Department may not be quite the Justice Department that we had hoped it to be. And friends, the trust in forensic science needs to be questioned. Now, I know there have been television programs on this from Dr. Quincy way back in the 1970s, 1980s. Yet, friends, we got to remember that scientists are not gods. Science is a business of probabilities. It deals in the area of induction, not deduction. And somehow people have forgotten that since, well, roughly Charles Darwin, or roughly the Enlightenment, at which time people thought science is the source of all knowledge. No, the source of all knowledge is the Word of God. The source of, the very source of absolute truth is found in the Word of God, revelatory truth, not forensic science or inductive science. Now, here's the biblical law on witnesses. And this is eminently wise. Why is it eminently wise? Because God wrote it. Here's Deuteronomy 19:15. Now, this is wisdom, friends. You'll find it the same thing in the New Testament. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And that, friends, for those of you who don't trust the Old Testament, that is repeated in the New Testament too. That principle is repeated in the Corinthians as well. So please remember that God himself has laid out the standard for justice because God himself is the very standard of justice. So if you ever are sitting in a jury and you're asking yourself, and I've done this, what would God say? What is the standard of justice? What constitutes true justice in a court of law? I went straight to the passage in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One witness is not enough. It must be two or three. And at one point, I had to hang a jury on this issue. I had to hang a jury on this issue because I needed a second line of proof. I absolutely need a second line of proof. I absolutely needed it. Why? Because I believe in justice as established by God himself. And by the way, if a false witness rises up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong. And this, I think, would apply to some of these FBI agents. Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests, the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and has testified falsely, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother. So shall you put away the evil from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Now, what's he saying here? What's he saying is you're in a murder trial. The forensic scientist comes up and says, this hair is just like this hair. This guy did it. And he points to the guy and he says, that guy did it. Now, if he lied, if the witness lied, then the witness himself will be executed.
Whoa.
That's pretty heavy. That means the witness has a lot of responsibility and he must witness truthfully or honestly in a murder trial or he himself will be subject to life imprisonment or to execution. Now, if you ignore this, you will ensure that many innocent will be imprisoned. If you ignore the biblical laws on witnessing, then you will ensure that many innocent people will be imprisoned and executed. Now, some people say, yeah, but you may wind up with some people who are guilty, who you cannot prove to be guilty because you don't have enough witnesses running free on the streets. Well, the answer to that is there is a God in the heavens. Be sure your sins will find you out. Our belief system, our worldview also includes a view of God, that God's eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good, and that God will catch up with them. He always does. Has anybody ever heard of divine justice? Have you ever heard of divine justice?
I sure have.
I hope you have. Divine justice is true. It's real. It happens. Now, of course, the humanists, those who maintain a humanist perspective of law, who don't believe in God, don't believe in the final judgment, and don't believe that God's eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. They don't believe in divine justice. Of course, these people in these law schools will train their future judges and future legislators to bring about a legal system that will look a lot like the police state and will do its best to bring a lot of innocent people to justice and get and throw the book at them. That will happen in a system where people do not believe that God will catch up with them. They do not believe that God is the standard of justice or that there will be a final judgment at the end day. And that is the worldview that creates the police state and creates the totalitarian government in which the police will be sure that justice is done, even if many, many innocent people are caught up in the midst of it. Biblical law for punishments are also ignored, as well as biblical law for witnesses. Now, when biblical law for punishments are ignored, that ensures that the guilty are almost always able to get out onto the streets and do the same crimes over and over again. And by the way, victims are almost never given any due restitution. Rather, they had to pay for the upkeep of their perpetrators in prisons by their tax dollars. This, my friends, is the sad state of justice under the humanists who have dominated law for the last 60 to 80 years, thanks to Harvard Law School, Yale Law School, and the evolutionary form of law that is perpetrated by those who do not believe in God and will not bring God's law to bear in the way that we do justice. So those who are guilty do not suffer just punishments. Those who are innocent often suffer punishment. Why? Because biblical law and witnesses are not maintained. Well, that's a travesty, Bill. I think our legal system's a travesty. And then add to that the abortionists, add to that 80 million babies who have taken it. We hardly have a justice system anymore. And add to that the illegal aliens that are constantly released to the tens of thousands of convicts released on the streets because the Justice Department just simply doesn't want to deal with them. Add to that. I think we're heading towards increased anarchy, Bill.
And it will come to a point where it's just like what Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 1:4, you know, that the law is paralyzed and justice comes out perverted. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted.
You know how many police officers I know and district attorneys I know, Christians, they'll tell you know what? Justice? You got to be kidding me.
Right.
I'm pretty close to a police officer that's a detective in the Colorado Springs Police Department down here. And he just, justice. You get a little bit. Still get a little bit here and there. But in terms of bad guys, guys who steal, rape, and kill, who are punished by the law and have to restitute to their victims. You gotta be kidding me. Justice? Justice? Justice here in America? No. We've abandoned God's word a long time ago. And justice is fairly a lost cause in this country today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the solution, of course, is to preach the word of God, preach the law of God. Be sure that our people, our children especially, know the laws of God, that they would one day be able to restore freedom, liberty, and decent law when it comes to those who kill, rape, and steal. That is the goal of a righteous society. And I think it's important for us to seek justice. Why? Because, well, what Bill just read and also Micah 6:8. What has God commanded of you, O man? To love mercy, seek justice, and walk humbly before your God.
And that is the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment is to love God with all. Yeah. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. If you do those things, then you will do exactly what Micah 6:8 says. Yep. You will love mercy, you will seek justice, and you will walk humbly with your God.
And we would love to see more of that happening. All right, folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. My encouragement is to pick up a copy of the second Mayflower. I have just a few copies left. And we probably are not going to reprint this because I got a new book on freedom coming out. But the second Mayflower is still available at our website, kevinswanson.com. If any of you want the last copy of the second Mayflower, Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, a review, biblical perspective on the civil magistrate and on freedom. If you want a copy of the second Mayflower, just simply go to our website and check out at kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.